that we are actually driving and managing as a department. Just to start, I've already alluded to the fact that there is an overwhelming support of the bill, as noted also by the portfolio committee. We really want to confirm that also in alignment to the constitutional values and non-racial and discriminatory issues that are actually pertinent into this particular legislation. Going deep into now the specific provisions, Chapter 1 of the Act 102, which include the definition, there's a comment that was raised that this must include the Federation, and in our response, we are indicating that the Federation is already included, as we can see also on our response, that the definition for enterprise organization includes any federation consisting wholly or partly of such associations that are existing. And then in terms of the recognition of household-based enterprises, we also making a case that the definition for enterprise includes also business entities that happen to include also the household. And going further to this definition, small enterprise does not include homesteads. We are of the view that that definition is broad enough to also include this particular area, including even sole traders and also what you call the spaza shops. And then in terms of Chapter 1 of the Act, remove subsection A from the definition for a complaint that actually relates to the large enterprises. And we say because of large enterprise can afford litigation, and this refers to the ombuds provisions. The large enterprise can afford litigation costs. Small enterprise often ensure compliance to contract terms with large enterprises. But we are very mindful of the fact that there are also contractual obligations between the small enterprises themselves, and therefore this also refers to them as well in terms of the compliance of this particular provision. Definition for compliance narrow the reference to the ombud, and we are very mindful of the fact that that definition for complainant is limited provision of ombud, is limited to the provision of the ombud, and therefore complaint in this definition refers specifically to complain in terms of the provisions of the Act in terms of the ombud service. And then in terms of complaint clarification, is the intention to refer the written agreement that way on pre-signed only reference to small enterprise in line 12, why not reference to small enterprise organizations? And we are saying complaint refers to existing contractual arrangements or other legal relationship between complainant and any other party to the complainant. So these are basically covered. The definition for cooperative enterprises is inadequate, and we are saying we need not necessarily really conflict issues here. The definition of cooperative enterprises as defined in Cooperative Banks Act is more different to the definition that is actually encapsulated in the definition of Cooperatives Act. So those need not necessarily be conflated. Definition of fair trade practices is not clear, and there is no clear understanding of this meant, what is meant by unfair trading practices. The conditions for unfair trading practices in terms of the bill is set in Section 17, and is very very clear, the rights of small enterprises, the list of practices in relation to small enterprises that can be declared unfair trading practices. So the Act has actually gone even further to be specific in this particular area in terms of that particular definition. Now, discuss the three scenarios as encapsulated, as you know, in the business case that establishes this new entity, and therefore the preferred for the scenario three. Yes, indeed, we actually as a department in our own articulation we have been saying that we prefer scenario three. However, given the fiscal conditions that are existing, it will be ideal for us to fall back into scenario two. We have already engaged with National Treasury. They really want us to go with the scenario one, which is a baseline. for now, and then we can be able to build from that. These engagements are still continuing with National Treasury to see if we can be able to, our minds can meet in terms of a scenario two, in terms of the funding of the entity. In line with current decision to provide for integrated support, several entities and programs under DALRAT, and we are saying yes, we are actually, in terms of our strategic framework, have collaborative efforts, and we are coordinating our work with various entities, including the entities of DALRAT. However, we still leave that mandate over the entities of DALRAT for DALRAT to handle that. But if there is any particular case that we can be able to make to refer to DALRAT entities, we can actually do that. And the entities actually have direction to do exactly that, including business-to-business disputes as well in terms of the ombudsman. And then in terms of SIP, function should be expanded to include business retention. Yes, we have already had programs within CIFA, for instance, that were dealing with issues of business retention. But however, also we know that CIFA is also having what is called pre and post support, which actually provides some aftercare support to business clients in the quest to actually provide this business retention, as is alluded to in this particular input. SIA to provide one-stop shop for government-wide services. Yes, SIFTA is the one-stop shop entity for small enterprise development services. However, we are very much aware that there are various entities that are existing out there, and also some of the mandates that may not necessarily be part of the DSBD portfolio. And we are saying in that we can actually, and also the business case provides for referral services to some of the entities when that matter comes to the fore. And then we lead in business development entities that drive economic transformation. Of course, I think we are very much aware that that is our mandate. However, in terms of the issues of the levies, unlocking the levies under agricultural levies system, agricultural levies do not fall under the mandate or jurisdiction of DSBD. However, we are saying if there are any particular issues that may actually some part of the red tape being actually gravitated by those agricultural levies, we actually can make a case out of that, as we have done with some of the provisions of some of the legislations around some of these matters. And then support the establishment of civil that express dissatisfaction with government inability to ensure compliance with 30-day payment. One of the key areas of focus of the ombud will be the compliance to payment obligations. And the National Small Enterprise Act or bill entitles small enterprise to the right of payment within reasonable period, which is stipulated by the PFMA and also its regulations. And therefore, hope that the in terms of also the comment, hope that consolidation of three entities into CIFDA will not be the center of looting, similar to the state capture. No, and we're saying, indeed, this entity is not necessarily going to be part of that. We are actually going to be working within the prescriptive and parameters of the legislation that we are actually trying. CIFDA has an objective to develop and design programs and products for small enterprise growth. It is noted and supported. DSBD is developing one-stop digital solution, for instance, that will cover some of the portfolio members, including the CIFDA as it's established. And in fact, in the business case, it is clearly stipulated that digitization will actually the order of the day in terms of the management of the activities of this particular entity. And therefore, the portal that we are developing as DSBD will have to integrate some of the systems that are already existing in the current entities that we are managing. And the objective of the agency is to design and implement development support for small enterprises and support, promote, develop cooperative banks, and also in conjunction with legally registered small the enterprise body legally registered small enterprise civil society, we are indicating that in any case, when we develop policies, when we develop programs, stakeholders are consulted and we do that. We have done that when we developed the national strategic framework. We are doing that as we develop some of the policy prescripts. For instance, the National Small Enterprise and Corporate Funding Policy, we are already consulting with various bodies, and we have consulted quite across, inclusive of these entities that or organizations that are mentioned here, also civil society. And as we go to areas, for instance, organizations such as NEDLAC, we have committees that in as much as we are consulting through the Trade and Industry Chamber, we have a small business also a task team that was established, and it actually encapsulates and includes some of these civil society organizations. Now, in terms of the boards, there's also a recommendation or a comment that we need to have at least 9 of the directors coming from the provinces to form part of the board. And we are saying we are not necessarily opposed to this. It may be an ideal situation. However, we are saying people should be able to get to particular skills, knowledge, and experiences that will drive the governance of this particular structure, so that it makes it to be effective and also economical, and also begin to also do exactly what it's supposed to be do in terms of the mandate that is actually being formulated across the entity. Going forward as well, we're saying that Section 13 of the bill that deals with the agency powers and functions, subsection D, provides for the establishment of provincial structures to ensure the effective implementation of its function. So we are saying here, the argument is that we are already represented in the provinces, and therefore, and also in terms of the some of the entities that we are establishing, for instance, the advisory body will actually take care of some of the provincial issues that are emanating out of the need for provincial coverage. Budget allocation on the ombud is said to be not sufficient or maybe modest to say that there is 3.5 million for initial setup and 20 million for annual operations. And we are saying the bill enables the establishment of the ombud as a juristic person, but allows for this organization to organically grow or organic growth based on demand. So we'll actually check very close the demand and the impact and the budget availability given the fiscal constraints that I've already mentioned, and then we can grow the structure over time. Then the Section 17, ombuds should engage in educational activities such as workshops and seminars, very much so that the Section 17 of the bill requires the office of the ombud to fulfill advocacy functions, and therefore it will have to embark on a drive to make sure that it is known out there, and that is actually already included in the provisions. And also the office of the ombud and not the ombud itself will do the advocacy. In terms of that question that is being asked there, to say why is the ombuds going to do the function of the of advocacy, not the ombuds service office per se. So we are actually very clear there that it is the ombuds as a juristic person, not national person, that will do the advocacy. And then ombuds provide advocacy service going forward. The Act, as amended by Act of 2003, provides for the establishment of the advisory body that I've just mentioned. And that advisory body will provide that advocacy and also serve the interests of small businesses across the board. But also, NYSE strategic framework is very clear in terms of making it a call for policymakers in the formulation of policy decisions regulation consider the impact of such policies and legislation as part of this advocacy work. Section 17G, the Ombud is to inter alia consider the and adjudicate complaints by small enterprise and initiate investigations concerning the prohibited conduct. And it is, however, respectfully submitted that the Competition Commission, as well as Competition Tribunal, established under Competition Act, already provides exactly the same function. We are indicating that we have, in the process of drafting this legislation, consulted with Competition Commission, and they have confirmed that the provisions inserted by the amendment to Section 8, Subsection 4 of the Competition Act are qualified and limited as opposed to what we are providing. And they are limited by the prohibition only, since the prohibition only applies to unfair practices or unfair trading conditions when imposed by dominant firms, and not necessarily across small enterprises themselves. Secondly, the contravention only applies to sectors designated by the Minister of Trade and Industry. And thirdly, the protection only applies to small and medium business or firm-owned and controlled by historically disenfranchised persons. So we are actually saying, in terms of that discriminatory issue that we talked about earlier, we are actually, in terms of the provisions of this particular bill, providing remedial actions for all enterprises across, irrespective of whether they are designated or not, as opposed to COMCOM, the provisions of Section 8, Subsection 4. And also going forward, the concluded dominant, this also in terms of the dominant firms, as part of the Competition Commission Act, and also impede the ability of small, medium business or firm controlled or owned by historic disadvantaged person to participate effectively. So these are the provisions of Competition Act, and we are actually indicating some limitations as discussed with Competition Commission itself to say they are not necessarily really opposed to this because there are actual limitations in their legislation in terms of the coverage that we have provided. And then further, the National Consumer Commission is said to also to be providing some of these remedial actions here. The vast majority of small enterprises defined in the bill fall under the Protection of Consumer Protection Act. And then we say the limitation here is to small enterprises with an annual turnover of less than 2 million, whereas the provisions in the particular bill is actually broader than that particular threshold. And then Section 17K refers to necessary changes in terms of the Commission's Act. The Commission's Act, if we just may want to explain it, it actually provides powers to commissioners and commissions that are established and the ombuds to summon individuals and request certain information that may actually enable it to do its work. In terms of necessary changes, there may be necessary changes in terms of those particular requirements as and when they are required by those bodies, including this ombuds as well. The bill should allow for establishment of a tribunal. It must provide for an appeal process. And we are indicating that the choice for the ombuds and not the tribunal was really predicated on the fact that we are looking for the system, or we are looking for a mechanism, a specific dispute mechanism that is cost effective and that is also have a very quick turnaround time in terms of supporting and assisting. Small businesses don't have much time when they have disputes to deal with. Thus, hence, they are actually leaving their case without necessarily going to courts of law, because they don't have resources and they don't have time. And this particular mechanism is quite cost-effective, and the turnaround time is very quick. And the determinations in terms of provisions in the Act can also be in writing, just to minimize or mitigate against the time and the cost, and also the turnaround time that is required. And the determination of the ombud finalized according to the section 5 may only be taken up on review specifically on the following grounds: illegality, procedural unfairness, and irrationality. So these are some of the things that we are saying are differentiator to the dispute resolution mechanism or alternative dispute resolution mechanism that are provided by the tribunal. Section 17R set out what happens in the case of this establishment. In case where this particular body may be liquidated or discontinued, we say that as actually being asked whether there will be a recourse for claimant already in the system. Yes, those claimants will actually seem to be the latter and be concluded upon. So they won't be left hanging because there's this particular liquidation. There will be that transitional arrangement that will make sure that in the operations of the ombuds, that will ensure that those cases are seen to be concluded on time. And Section 17C set out the conditions in which persons can ask for the ombuds for copies of determinations. Yes, and actually the argument here is that why we have to have the fees or charge the fees for this. And we're saying these are just administrative costs. And they're going to be very much minimal. They are actually the cover costs in terms of the process of providing those determinations to any individual that may request such. And these will be subjected, of course, to relevant legislation that includes also the Protection of Personal Information Act. Section 17 Act, the opportunity to have interagency opportunity for cooperation. Yes, we have already alluded to the fact that we will have a mechanism, even including the ombuds, that will actually make referral. If there are particular cases that the ombuds cannot be able to handle, that those can be able to be referred to relevant bodies to actually deal with. So there's a referral mechanism that are built in within this particular system. 17Y, not sure what is meant with the provision of Section 17. Small enterprise has the right to trade and transact freely, including and subsequent the right to accountability. And then this basically is dealing with issues of trading practices, deal with business-to-business trading practices, and does deal with compliance to other legislative requirements such as labor. So we are actually saying this act, in terms of that particular section, already is very clear in terms of trading practices that are there. The section enables the minister to declare certain practices in relation to small enterprises to be unfair trading practices. And we're saying this is not an onerous power that is arbitrary. It sets conditions and parameters that the minister can follow so that it becomes a transparent process on its own. Section 17Y enables the minister to declare certain practices. Yes, we have already alluded to that. This must impose on the rights of small enterprises set out in subsection 2, as well as limited practice set out in section 3, and is then also set the principle that must guide the minister, as I've already included, alluded to the fact that the powers are not necessarily really arbitrary. These powers are actually going to be follow a particular process and transparent and engage in consultative processes with those bodies that may be affected by that particular proposal for declaration of such practice. And then in terms of general comments, support the establishment of ombud to deal with late payments and contract disputes. Yes, we have already included that on the 30-day payment. It should be possible to update the list of practices to be declared unfair trading practices. And we are saying that can be done with the amendment of the Act, if we have to do that. The current intervention by a trader to deal with late non-payment of invoices is not effective. Yes, hence we have actually built in within the mechanism of the ombuds to make sure that one of the many of the dispute resolution mechanisms that we are actually building there includes this issue of the payment or late payment as it were. Section 19.3 says that the Director General must conduct a review timelessly, but does not indicate how long it should be taken. But this is really just a provision in the Act that says the Minister from time to time may actually be required to produce a review of small enterprises. In fact, this is actually captured already in the Principal Act that there will be a report that will be produced by the Minister and be tabled in Parliament. And when the Minister gave that directive, obviously the time parameters will be actually be put, and this will be produced timeously as it's supposed to be. And Section 20, this section really is amended because of the suggestion and the advice or counsel by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, emanating from some of the Constitutional Court judgments that actually saw that some of the changes in the legislation done by the ministers may actually provide what you call ultra vire, or provide minister with powers that are beyond the powers that are supposed to be accorded to the minister in changing the legislation. So we amended this to make it easier for the minister to amend the schedule in the Act, because that schedule need to be periodically amended so that it can be able to align itself with issues, with changes in the economy, and also some of the changes in terms of conditions that are actually pertinent within the economic spectrum, if one may say. And then a number of comments stressed the importance of ensuring that products and services offered by SIFTA and OMBU should not discriminate. This is coming across from various comments that were made, written and oral, and we have taken heed of that. We know that in terms of Office of Chief State Law Advisor, there's a confirmation that this bill comply with the constitutional requirements, and therefore there will never be a discriminatory in terms of the provision of services in terms of those particular areas such as race, gender, sex, pregnancy, marital status, and the others. And some of the comments also received confirmed alignment of the bill with the constitutional values of non-racialism and non-discrimination. We have actually noted that. Then it does not make reference to the ensuring that the lending practices of the new agency will support decent work and labor laws. This is one of the comments that were actually put forward by COSATU, and we are saying the lending requirements and criteria of the entity will be specified through its business model. And in principle, as a government entity, the agency will always adhere to the laws and regulations of this country and governing the laws as well of the labor practices included. And then the program of bogus cooperatives, and we say, yes, we are very much aware that there are cooperatives out there that are bogus. However, through our partnership with the likes of the CIPC, we always strengthen in the work of registration of all types of segments of businesses. And if there are any particular gaps, we'll always really engage with the registration company's registration office to make sure that we close this gap. But also in our support mechanisms, the requirements are very clear that we always seek some documentation that will ensure that the cooperative that our supporters are actually legitimate enough and not bogus, as is being referred. I think that was the last slide, Chair, in terms of what we have tried to consolidate into metrics or response metrics out of these oral and written comments. And we have already also went through quite a list of written comments that were submitted to us last night. We went through them thoroughly, And we find that there are also commonalities in terms of the comments that are made. But across the board, pertinent issues around the ombuds and also around the fact that the bill deals with some of the issues that have been affecting small enterprises across over the years have been addressed by this bill. But the consolidation of these three entities as well has seemed to be actually a noble idea that will actually be the effect of better services that are required by small enterprises across the land breadth of our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DDG. Honorable members, here we are. A response from the department is before us. I will now invite comments from your good selves, because you are the ones who were on the ground. But we really appreciate the efforts, and also to acknowledge that you are admiring the way the portfolio committee has stressed itself, but we also want to commend your good self. The cooperation between the two was of great importance. That's why we have arrived where we are. So my belief and the belief of the portfolio committee is that we'll soldier on to be able to reach our or to attain our goal. Thank you so much. I'm now inviting honorable members to comment on the consolidated report by a good self or the response from your good self. Braking will assist me to identify hands.
Yes, Chairperson.
Honorable Kruger.
That's him so far.
Up to so far, it's only Honorable Kruger alone.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Honorable Kruger. The platform
thank you. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and greetings, colleagues. Saw a lot of each other the past 3 weeks, and I feel like a drug addict. I'm getting, you know, without seeing the chairperson every morning, I'm start feeling sad, you know. So
You can see me on the screen. Yes,
I can see. Thank you, Ma'am Chi. And thank you for the department's response. I would like to reserve our response on this presentation, because you know, we didn't have any time to study it, and we understand that this bill is very important for small business development and for the future of this country. So all I want to note is that we would like to reserve our response until we study the report, but, you know, have time to study the report. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. I just want to correct. You want to reserve, not we, because you are Honorable Kruger as an individual.
Yeah. I mean
yes, yes. I wanted to correct you then. Any other hands from other Honorable members?
Honorable Matulelo.
Honorable Matulelo, over to you. Honorable Matulelo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and all honorable members, and also the department and all the staff and the administration. Chairperson, I've heard the report. Also, what I'm glad is because this the bill is going to be. It seems like the bill is passing, but the next thing I wanted to raise, I did not hear anything in the report that is limiting, more especially that the submissions were made for that are limiting the powers of the minister on that where we the submission were made to say at least it must be a law, a section of that is it must be a law whether the minister or not that can determine the wrongdoings and the and also the to say I think the powers to minister can mess up. We know the submission we make. I don't know why it's excluded in the report. I think maybe there will be another report, maybe, or this is the final report, so that we are clear if did that thing get expression where we say the minister must have power, but not as an individual. He must use the law to say, okay, with regards to section, this section of the law, this is an unfair trading, or else this must not happen, this must happen. Not that the minister just become a shareholder and determine and say anything else. Otherwise, other than that, Chairperson, I'm happy that the submissions and the public and everything, it seems like we are winning in this. It's passing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Matulela. While you are still digesting, just try to craft it, but I will allow them to assist you. I understand you because I've been together with you while most especially the freedom fighters were raising it sharply, but I believe you are right. We will need to have it crafted the way you want it. So since we've got legal gurus here and the department, they will assist you. So I understand what you are saying, but it is there. It's only that I wanted us to have this presentation, and then when clarity-seeking questions arose, and then we'll reflect it. So you have reflected it. I believe they will respond on that one. But thanks to your input, as you have alluded. The next, and Brakin?
It's Mr. Jacobs.
And who else?
They are coming in trips and trips. So I'll see the other one who will bring.
Morning, Chair.
Mr. De Villiers.
Can I come in?
Yeah, I'll be followed by Mr. De Villiers.
Okay, come in. Come in, Honorable Jacobs. The stage is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair. Again, greetings to everybody. I think I also want to note the report for the department and the response to the public hearings. I think I share Honorable Kruger's sentiment that we know the issues. We've been on the road for quite some time. I think the three issues that also came out very clearly, and maybe we also have to deliberate about it, was this angle of the provincial composition of the board. I think there was a strong view for that to also be seen through the bill. I think what we need to do is also just to process the department's responses. I think I also am at that stage where we note what they're saying. And then also the responses of yesterday, I think there was quite some significant inputs, very thoughtful, very considered inputs, very strategic inputs from a lot of the key stakeholders. I think that also is something that we need to put the work in there. But I think for now, I will certainly study the inputs, the responses from the department, and we'll give calls shortly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Next hand, Honorable de Villiers.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. Yes, thank you for the presentation. I appreciate the fact that the department has gone through the comments and have given us comments this morning. Before I give some further comments myself, I also just want to ask a question. Am I correct in saying that we as members of this committee will still have a further chance to give written comments on the bill, and that it's not the last chance for us to give comments? If that is true, and maybe Chair, if you or the Secretary could maybe just help me understand the process. This is the first time I'm going through this legislative process with a committee. And then my only comment, real comment is, and I think Ms. Honourable Jacobs has, I basically want to agree with everything that he said. My only additional comment, without repeating any of his concerns or his comments, would be that I'm still really uncomfortable with the powers of the minister part of the legislation, and at best it's a fuzzy, not clearly defined part of the legislation. And whilst we as the committee, and certainly not me, committee members from this parliament that was also on this committee, like Honourable Kruger, have been talking about the Ombudsman and talking about the merger of CE and CIFA, and have really applied their minds over years on how this should work out, and that the main part of the bill that which speaks to the amalgamation and speaks to the Ombudsman isn't something which was rushed. It is actually something that's been really discussed and crafted over years. As opposed to that, these powers that the minister have to define unfair practices seems to be, well, it doesn't seem to be, it's new. It's not something which we've really had time to deliberate on. It's not something which the committee has ever spoken about before it appeared in the bill. And it is incredibly unclear to me what the actual problem is that this powers are trying to solve. We have lots of laws in this country, lots of current legislation, and I'm trying to understand what is the minister trying to do with these new powers which isn't covered in existing legislation. So if I can make an example, one of the biggest problems that small businesses at the public hearings that they complained about was illegal nationals which are operating and trading in a way which impacts their own businesses. Now, there are lots of current legislation which should be better enforced, which could assist with that problem. So it starts with border control and how border control is being enforced. It then goes to a tax. Is the tax authority looking at these people and at these other shops and asking the question of whether they are paying tax, and are they declaring their accounts? Are the people who are working in these spaza shops to have a legal a right to work and start a business in South Africa? Is the goods that they are stocking legal goods? Did they procure in a legal way? So what I'm trying to say is that all of the problems around spaza shops, as a example, have existing legislation which needs to be enforced in order to deal with that, with the different problems around illegal spaza shops. We don't need a central government style power attached to a minister that can just look at a business practice without going through parliament, without going through a legislative process, without talking to stakeholders, without the transparent manner in which we as legislators create laws, and just say, I deem this to be an unfair practice, and that's it. I mean, Parliament can't do anything about it. It's this bill, if in my reading of it, if she follows the right processes, will give. And I'm not, I mean, this is not aimed at minister, at the current minister, Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, because remember, we craft laws for the future. So we don't know what party is going to be controlled in 10 years' time. We don't know what minister there's going to be in 10 years' time. And if you get a minister who, for whatever reason, tries to give certain people a competitive advantage, whether they are anything from their family or his or her family or whatever reason, then this minister will have these weird powers, which I think should never exist, where they can just look at a business practice and say, well, this is now unfair, and just declare it unfair. And it is not the way which how the market economy operates. It's not the way legislation operates. And I would really like to ask, you know, SEDA and CIFA Amalgamation, the Ombudsman, these are bipartisan, these are the non-partisan issues. We as political parties mostly agree on this. We can congratulate each other on what we are trying to achieve there. But this bill could be scuffled by the fact that these new powers have been, for the minister, have been included, which I do not think has been properly deliberated on, thought through, or actually solves a real problem. So I want to make it clear from our perspective, from the DA's perspective, we really want to support this bill, but we cannot support this bill if the power part of it for the minister stays in the bill. And we would like to appeal to our colleagues. We've worked so long on getting here. These powers were never part of what we discussed as a committee. It was never part of the deliberations we had. It wasn't part of what of the problem we were trying to solve for small business. And I honestly don't believe that these powers will solve any problems for small business. And it does. If there is a case to be made for it, let's take it to the 7th Parliament and let's talk it through properly, and let's work through it in committee, and let's take each other's hands on it. But included now is really, I think, not, it's running something which we don't understand and which could have unforeseen consequences in the future. So I would just like to make it really clear that we support the amalgamation of SEDA and CIFA, and we support the Ombudsman, but we do not support these unknown powers that have been quietly put in and rashly put into this bill. We don't understand what the consequences are it's going to be. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable De Villiers. I like the part of saying I'm not familiar with this process, but your last sentiments were correct, that we are supporting this and this as the party. So remember, here we're working as the portfolio committee, not as the party. You must speak as an individual, although mandate might be coming with it from the party, but to express yourself inside the committee, it assists all of us, because the ball is in our court as members of the portfolio committee, and we really need to support each other. I'm happy that you participated on the ground, and there were some comments on this issue of powers. So it is important to reflect on that one, but we cannot come up with new issues saying that the 7th Parliament. So I'm trying to guide the meeting so that you must not off-ramp. Here we are listening to the responses from the department. Ours is to put a stamp on the responses, whether these responses are correct or there are some gaps, and then we close those gaps. So we cannot come up with something else, but we must go to the 7th Parliament. That's not our objective as the Portfolio Committee. We agreed to roll this bill as the portfolio committee, and we're in the process of finalizing steps. So I'm happy that at the end you indicated, but it will be better, honorable member, to coin that clause as I have indicated to Honorable Matulela, that I don't have any problem with our inputs as the members of the portfolio committee, but let us assist the process by coining whether you are proposing that, honorable members of the portfolio committee, let us remove this clause because of 1, 2, 3, 4. It will be within this portfolio committee to bear with you. So you are in order. But what I'm trying to guide, so that we must not fall into that particular trap, all of us, we are not longer proposing whether we are moving with the bill or not. We are at the edge. What we need to correct is to check whether these responses are responses which are in line with what we had from the ground and with what is in line with the submissions, etc., etc. But you are really in order. So if you may assist us before we close this meeting, because there is no way that I will say, honorable members, we are still going to have a chance. I don't know what chance for, because we have been an eyewitness of this submission. We have been an eyewitness of all those public hearings. Ours is to make sure that the department respond exactly on what people on the ground have said. So I'm trying to guide the meeting so that there is no confusion. There is no way where we'll say, well, come now, come with your views. These were the views of the public, not our views. Ourselves were listening, and we're now engaging the department. So I believe I'm clear. And I understood you very, very well. So please assist me on that one so that the department can be able to take what we are giving to them as the portfolio committee. Thank you, Honorable de Villiers. Do we have any other hands?
Yes, Chairperson. It's Nkosi Thuli. And then it will be followed by Mr. Okay.
Honorable Ndabezitha, Honorable Nkosi Lithole.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Mine is very little. Is to upload to the department and say that it's very the question which was were asked, or rather the input which was done by the consult was very, it made me very, very nervous yesterday. I must say that, Chair. But today it's clear, because the department made it clear all those clauses which was set by the was set by the COSAT. The answers of the department to me it's clear, except certain things out of it which we were not happy about the powers of the ministers. It seems as if it's very big must be limited in such a way that it must make it smaller than what the bill is saying. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ndabezitha. That is progressive. I believe the department will zoom into that. Do we still have any other hands?
Mr. Kruger, I think you want
Mr. Kruger, do you want to have a second bite? Because I wanted
Thank you, Archie. Yes, I would like to. And we listen about the department's responses. I took very carefully notes of every single speaker when we went in public participation. And I sum it up, and it's just to the knowledge of this committee. And the biggest problem that came up every time, the first one, was the ease of doing business, red tape. I mean, in every single person that participate in our you know, meetings, red tape was a big problem. The second biggest problem people were speaking about was foreigners, and then it became access to finance, CIFA and CIDA's footprint was a third, fourth one, big business bullying small business, skill development come up many, many times, the place to trade for informal traders of municipalities came up a lot of times, favoritism of department officials, corruption, the minister's powers also came up a lot of times, rural development came up, local development came up, and then of course also many spoke about the women, youth and disabled empowerment. So, Madam Chair, what I'm trying to say is that this is the themes of most of the participations that I picked up. And we need to get solutions for all this. So, yes, the bill does speak to some of the solutions. My problem is the bill, we have a good opportunity now, an excellent opportunity now to sort out the ease of doing business while we're busy working on this bill, because it seems like small businesses in South Africa need a ease of doing business environment to do that. And some of the clauses in the bill definitely speak about it. I mean, the one-stop shop is definitely part of it. But we don't have an ease of doing business strategy in small business development department. So what I'm trying to say is, if you look at the themes, this bill don't speak to all solutions for the people of the small businesses in South Africa. So I would like to add that we have a look at the proposal so that we can bring in some section where we can address the ease of doing business for small businesses. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Do we still have any other hands?
No, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Members. It's a pity we don't have time. I would request Smoke to give us again an orientation on how a bill is being formulated to understand all the stages up to where we are now. Because some of the points are very, very important. But those points, I believe, they were supposed to be discussed when the department presented the bill before us. So are the ones who accepted the proposal from the department according to the rules, and were the ones who were rolling this bill. So now they are responding on the public hearing on the ground. Ours is to empower their responses in line with the public's responses. So, Mr. Kruger, you are right, but we can't write red tape, we can't write bullying, but if we have agreed that the first objective, which is we are going to merge the three entities to be able to resolve all those problems, I believe when they go back and do some regulations, all those issues will reflect. But for now, the objectives presented before us, which we adopted as the committee, and then we started rolling the bill, seeks to address all those issues. So it will be upon the department. I'm happy the DM is here and a very experienced person who has been in parliament for some time. She will really understand what you are saying. And my request is to assist the department on the issue of that clause of powers of the minister, because it seems as if it's a general feeling. Indeed, even on the ground, we heard that. But let us have a way of coining it. It should be ourselves who try to coin it, not the department, because we are the one who's championing these responses. So mine will be to indicate, without requesting them to flag the responses, on the issue of board members. I was not comfortable about the response, which said, yes, DDG, yes, acting DG, yes, deputy minister, we are considering it, but we don't want that but. Because it was clear from all members in all provinces that they need to be represented. I believe if we can act on this one, it will really assist and it will resolve a lot of problems, like problems Mr. Kruger is indicating. Because the issue, the serious problem, people are not given the rights to choose their representatives. The department will just decide to appoint people saying these are your boards, and they said we need consultation, we need to be consulted, and we need to be represented. Since there are 13 board members, they put it clearly that we need each province to have its own board member, and where the province is big, like Gauteng and KZN, and I'm citing an example, to add the number to 13, we may consider those big provinces. Because board members must not go there and be board members on their own. They must know that they are carrying the mandate of the province. So this bill really must assist us to unlock all those problems which we are facing. So an emphasis on that one was highly, was sharply pointed out by all participants in all the provinces. So I wanted us just to go to that one. And then on the issue of powers, I'm still requesting honorable members and indicating to honorable members that we are not in the session of discussing about the bill. We are done with the bill. We are receiving the respondent. We need to coin the respondent, because from here we are moving forward according to the steps. So there is no time. SBU will take us through. To those who are new in parliament, to those who are not really aware about how these processes unfold, it's a process which we need to make a determination, to take a decision now, and from there we move. So that's why I don't want us to say we must go and think about it. We think about it, we correct it now, we make our input now as the portfolio committee, and not as individuals, not as an ANC member, as a team. We're working here as a team, and we view each other's point seriously. And honorable members, there's no one who's out of order. You are all in order. But assist the department by coining certain clauses where you feel. But up to so far, when I listened carefully, attentively to you, is only the issue of powers of the minister. The rest were all in agreement. That's what I heard from your good self. So I will, at this stage, while you're still thinking on how to coin this, it will be upon us all, not only those members who have indicated that clause. All of us as honorable members, let's assist each other so that we are able to support the responses they did. But I'm happy, and I also want to join those who are saying they are applauding the department for their good work. you have done. We are doing this not for ourselves, but we are doing it for our society. So I would request through you, DM, the acting DG and the team to respond to certain issues. But my main point here, it was on the issue of the board members as well as on the issues of powers of the minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the inputs on the report, that is the inputs from members, are actually helping us to in the enrichment of this piece of legislation. But I just want to say, Chairperson, with regards to the issue you raised with part of the minister, yes, there would be areas that you believe as a committee that some of those powers need to be curtailed or in certain areas be enriched. Don't forget, Chairperson, that once the legislation is passed and assented to by the President, the department has got the responsibility to look into the regulations. And the regulations then would be the instrument that the minister would be using to apply this piece of legislation. But also, Chair, one of the things that we realize as a ministry is that when things happen in the informal, your small, your micro and small businesses, then even if the minister would want to intervene in that space, you'd find that there are limitations. So even where you feel that the powers are onerous, I would believe that the minister needs to be empowered to be truly the champion and custodian of matters related to small enterprises, because I would believe that that is what we would want to see with this piece of legislation. And Chairperson, most of the time, the ministers are public reps themselves. So we would hear from the communities or letters from wherever or complaints. Those powers would then enable the minister to intervene, even in a space that is probably local government. And I just want to indicate, Minister, when dealing with issues at local government level, in consultation and in cooperation with the Minister of COPCA, equally so the Minister of Trade and Industry and other ministers. Recently, the department was signing an MOU with the Department of Science and Innovation. So you see, there's a lot of areas where the department, through the minister, would want to intervene. But I think the team will respond properly to it. But I also want to say, members of parliament, Honorable Chair, are lawmakers. So when the legislation is now in your hands, you need to tweak and adjust it to the way you believe in, you agree as a team on. And so long as whatever amendments or changes that you are making does not have financial implications, because if they have financial implications, then it means that the legislation will have to return to the department. So I think it's important that you look at those issues. But I'm also conscious of the fact that the Chairperson insists on representativity, and especially geographic representativity. So on the board. So when the advertisement for the board goes out, I believe that there would be those requirements that are set down, which would probably indicate that we would want to achieve this particular objective. Gender, representativity, as well as your provincial or geographic spread. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to hand over to the acting DG.
Thank you, acting DG.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, TM has covered the areas, but I think the specific areas in terms of the technical, I'll allow DG Muhoto. and the team to address those. DDG Mohoto?
Thank you very much, DG, and thanks very much. Look, I mean, I think the AM has touched on two critical areas that I think, in terms of my notes and analysis of the discussion, are actually hinging upon, which is the powers of the minister and the Section 6, I think it's Section 6, that deals with the Section 16 that deals with the provincial spread across the appointment of the board. And indeed, I think the deputy minister is correct. I think when we issue an advert for the appointment of the board, we actually have to put we can put the parameters in terms of what kind of skills we need, what kind of persons we need, and also if there's a need to also include a provincial not condition per se, but just to indicate that it would be good to have a provincial spread in those adverts. But these are some of the things that the minister is saying that will actually come about as we actually deal with the regulations that may actually be included in the legislation, so that we actually bear those details down. And then I think the issue of the powers, really, I wouldn't really want to even touch on it, because the Act is very clear in terms of the powers. And I've already indicated, Chair, that in terms of the particular provisions of the Act, doesn't necessarily give minister an arbitrary powers. It simply enables the minister to say some of the things are really impeding the progress in terms of the development of the sector, and we need to deal with them. And in dealing with that, the minister may not just wake up and the following day and just put those particular powers that are actually included in the Act, but will consult fairly with all the parties that are involved, and also including the Office of the Ombuds, to actually define the areas quite thoroughly in order to make sure that the decision that is made is actually the decision that is accommodative of everyone in order to address that particular matter. However, I think one would say, as a department, we have actually formulated this product. And this product, basically, in terms of the preamble, it clearly is actually stipulated clearly what this Act is all about. And we have tried by all possible means within our various skills to include some of these provisions on the basis of the analysis that have been made over the years of what is challenging us, while we're dealing with also issues of integration of the entities. And we actually really hope and expect that members of parliament will actually look at this thing on the basis of the responses that we have made, and make the determination in terms of what are the areas that you may want to relook at in terms of this bill. Maybe let me leave at that, DG. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable members, here are the response. I have requested you to coin it because we don't have time. I want us to deal with this matter once and for all. From here, we're moving to another level while the department is still here. Can we coin the clause, the one of the boards? I've dealt with it. Can I be assisted on the other one of the minister, powers of the minister, so that we close the chapter? We are reaching consensus that we are in agreement with the responses. We are moving with the bill, but we want just to deal with that matter. So I'm now inviting hands so that when we leave here, all of us will be on the same page. I'm inviting hands. Maybe before honorable members respond on their last bite on that one of House of the Minister. I will also appeal to the department that don't leave us out, because at the end of the day, we are the ones who are responsible on the ground during selection of those board members or whatever. Please involve the portfolio committee so that you had our support at all costs. So we are requesting that you it be considered. It will assist us during those processes. Thank you. Braking?
I was seeing the mic of Mr. Kumete. I thought maybe he wanted to say something while members are still there.
No, I wanted to check quickly to Chairperson. Do you want us to do it now, Chairperson, those amendments? Because my understanding is there's going to be a separate process for that, where we do clause-by-clause analysis of the bill.
Okay. I may agree with you, because I was just cautioning members that there mustn't be an expectation that we are still dealing with the bill. We are responding to responses, and we are correcting so that it doesn't deprive us to move forward with those other steps. I was trying to say that, but I'm taking your advice, because at the same time, it will come to us again in the portfolio while we're dealing with it close by close. But I'm requesting members to go and do. Honorable members, are we fine with that?
There's a hand then from Mr. de Villiers, Chair.
Honorable de Villiers.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for being so clear on the process and assisting me. Chairperson, I would like to submit to my fellow committee members, as a member in my personal capacity, but also as someone who has dealt with small business my whole life and being exposed to the small business sector my whole life, I would like to please ask this committee to strike the pull from the bill that deals with the powers of the minister to
don't worry about that, Honorable de Villiers, who had you. We'll deal with it in that particular succession. So don't worry. No one is going to adopt it without all those points which you want to effect. So I'm happy that you are together. You understood what I have explained to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any other hand?
Ms. Matulelwa.
Honorable Matulelwa.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for Mr. Kumete also to explain that we can do it. We are going to have another session. Thank you to you, Chair, to say let us coin it, because you want us. But also, my request also to those who you said they are with us here, who are dealing with the laws and everything else, they can also assist.
Yeah,
to put it right, because it's not that you are saying not at all, we don't want the powers at all, but with the experience that we have with other entities, such as we were explaining to you as we were going, what happened about the SOEs, and even the public did announce it. So we want something that's not going to give powers like those ones where the minister can mess up with the whole small business sector, just like I'm a electricity and all of those things of SOE. So let me try as well to coin it, not now, but also our people who are familiar with coining it as well, who are here, we can humble us that they assist us on that one. We want it to be put correctly and limit the powers of the minister, whoever minister that will be in power after this bill is being passed, must have a limitation, must not mess up with what was good before. We have seen those things that a person comes in and take out everything, even if it was good, and then bring a OPE education that won't assist. So there are those things that are sometimes we don't want. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matulela. What I'm appealing to you, Honorable Members, is ourselves who requested the House Chair of Chairs to run with this bill. So when you are being requested to have a committee meeting, please let's cooperate like we are doing. It will assist us to close the chapter. That's my humble appeal. Tomorrow, we are having caucus in the morning. We're supposed to have our meeting at 10 o'clock, but we are respecting parties as well as requests from other honorable members that they are requesting to be in their caucuses. So it will be announced at what time will we be having our portfolio committee meeting, and we'll be having back-to-back meetings to be able to close this chapter. But thank you so much, honorable members. I believe we are done. Braking, can you go back to our agenda?
Okay, Chair. The next one, Chair, that we have to consider is deliberate. We have to go to the consideration of the updated fourth term committee.
Okay. Can you take us through?
Yes, Chairperson.
Can you talk to it?
I'll try with the assistance of the Chair. Chairperson, as we discussed yesterday, and out of the management with the guidance from the legal services, we came to this conclusion to present to members that today we are having this department responses, and we have had some deliberations that has come, and the key issues that that came from the public submissions. So, Chair, we then thought of I can declare to members that it is going to be a very congested program, and the time frames are very much squeezed, which will request the members to consider that and avail themselves to ensure that the bill is being read for the second time in the National Assembly. Firstly, that the report is adopted and the bill is read for the second time so that it can be able to be moved to SOP. So according to the parliamentary program, it was scheduled that the bill, the adoption of the report, must be read on Tuesday, the 5th of December. However, I've interacted with my manager, and then they based that they will request that at least it be moved to the following day, which is Wednesday, the 6th. So we are having that hope, since the program committee is sitting on Thursday, that the request will be adhered to, where the report of the PC is adopted on the 6th and the bill is read for the second time on the 6th. Hence then the program that we developed, it was based on those time frames. Though there are things that should be done before that report is being finalized. So tomorrow, which is Thursday, Chair, we have put that we have a committee meeting. Instead of starting from 9:30,
as per concern raised by different members of the committee, that we have a meeting from 12:30 to 1600 where we'll be considering and deliberation and adoption of public participation report, and then thereafter we shall also be considering and adopting the motion of desirability on the bill, and then thereafter we shall have comments by parliamentary legal services on the constitutionality issues and participation report. So that will be a separate session. And then after that, Chair, we created that in the evening we also meet from 7:30 till the maximum it's 10, which is 22 hours, where we'll be considering close by close deliberation, where now the clause that are in the bill will be considered close by close with the guidance of the legal services, where we are the matters that have been raised on this deliberation can be formulated in the bill as the members were talking to them. Then once this close by close deliberation has been done, then we had planned that we shall have a meeting on Friday. However, there is a meeting, there is a plenary that starts at 10 on Friday. So we wanted to give also a time for the legal services. Once we did the close by close deliberation, if there are new things that should be acted, then that will mean there'll be a production of the A list and the production of the B list. So legal services then that is assisting us with that formulation. Hence then we will have a meeting at 19:30. We propose to have a meeting on Friday at 7:30 up until 21 hours. We'll be considering and adopting the A list, which then means the A list is that whatever that has been added when we're doing close by close, that's what we call it, the A list, which then changed the shape of the bill. And then we're doing it on Friday so that we can have give the CREDA is the company that does this bill with the assistance of the health services. And then where we then think that they shall be given a weekend to come and include those things that we call it a list and the B list. Then on Monday we couldn't have a meeting because we're giving the legal services, Ms. Telani, an opportunity that when this A list has come back, they should be proofread to see to it. It is according to what they've effected the changes. When we're doing this A list, even if maybe, for example, it's when she will assist me, is it when maybe in a bill it was saying they must, we change the must to should, then that is the change. And so those things, even we change the comma, that those things, they should be effected as the committee wanted it. Then on Tuesday, then we have seen also that there is a sitting that starts at 10 on Tuesday. So we are proposing that we have a meeting as early as 8:30 on Tuesday, where we shall be considering and adopting the B list of the bill, meaning that all the changes, and then we're adopting the bill as those changes been effected. So with the hope then that we can do it from 8:30 up until 10 when the plenary. When plenary starts, and then with the hope then that should our request be adhered to, we shall adopt the report and the bill, and it will be 80 seats for it to be adopted in the House on Wednesday. And then and I think Thelani can also assist us that we shall request the deviation to the 3 days rule. Normally, once it has been adopted, it has to sit for 3 days before it goes to the House. But I understand you can be able to request for the deviation, so that as soon as it is adopted on Tuesday, we ATC the bill and the report, and then they are read on the 6th of December 2023. So this our proposal there, members, through you, Chairperson.
Okay.
I think I can I request Thelani just to add on this, give a clear indication and the understanding to members about the A list and all these things that need to happen before the production of the A list and the meaning of the A list. Can you assist me, Ms. Taylor?
Yes. Good afternoon, members. Good afternoon. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
You are audible, Dylan.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, King, you are right. I think you explained it perfectly. The A-list will only be drafted by myself and Oxler after the committee has deliberated on the bill and received clause-by-clause resolutions on what they seek to change in the bill. Once that is done, that will feed into a document which we call an A-list. The A-list is then sent to CREDA, and we receive the A-list with all its changes. CREDA then presents a B-bill, and that B-bill contains all the changes that were put in the A-list and then assumed into the new bill. And then that gets adopted by the committee. But before the A-list can go to CREDA, the committee needs to see the A-list. The A-list needs to be read to the committee, and the committee needs to adopt the A-list. So I trust that explains the process.
Thank you, Thelani.
Thank you, Thelani.
It is like that, members. That is why we shall really request the indulgence of members in terms of these difficult times, and then I know sometimes it's going to be family time if we've got this meeting at night, but if we can just bear with us, it's only for 2 days, and to finalize everything that we have started in October. Thank you, Chair. That is our proposal.
Thank you, Braking. Honorable members, here is the proposal of the program to finalize our bill. Can I have a mover and a seconder?
We can deliberate if there's something members they want to add or before maybe they adopt.
Yeah, okay. No problem. Honorable members, I'm yours. You are mine.
In the absence of any, can I have a mover for the adoption of the program?
As from the chair, my hand was up.
I move for the adoption.
Chair,
my
hand
is up.
Okay. My hand was up as well, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Kruger, I rely on Braking because this issue of technology is a problem. Sometimes when I go to participant, everything crashed. So I didn't do that deliberately. But you can say something if you want to say something, Honorable Kruger. I am not as Honorable Lorraine and Honorable Somela.
Chairperson?
Yes?
I'm here to move for the adoption, Chairperson.
Thank you. Any seconder?
No, I still want to say something. Yeah, my hand was up as well. How can we move already if I want to submit something?
Okay, submit, Honorable Kruger.
My head also, Chair, please.
Okay,
please,
no problem. All right, let us do this.
Honorable Kruger.
Ma'am Chair, yes, I want to put it on record that I personally does not agree with the program, and I personally feel that this process is going too fast, and mm-hmm. we're busy, as my colleague, Honorable de Villiers said, this is for future generations, and we don't do any favor of pushing this thing through like we do at the moment for small businesses in South Africa. I mean, COSATU also felt exactly the same yesterday, and I think we must start listening to the community out there, and as I say, please put it on record.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is to say I don't have a problem that much with the program, as long as you're going to make sure you are checking thoroughly, because it's practically impossible to have two virtual meetings at the same time, more especially there's no lesser important meeting, more especially the sittings and also this one, because also remember we're also dealing with other legislation in the house, so we can't do both in the same time. We can do it as earlier, but we must make sure that it doesn't clutch. So my humble appeal is that also, if you are going to be assisted with whatever legal people that can put whatever we put in terms of the concern of the minister part, I don't have a problem with the program, as long as we are not going to clash. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mathulela. I want to promise you that's why we have early meetings as well as late meetings. We're going to make sure that it doesn't clash, and we're going to make sure that we're not going to adopt the bill before all what we want to change or what we have requested has been reflected and agreed by all the members, not individuals.